Good morning again. I am still Brandon, one of the pastors here at Legacy. Whether you're joining us on a screen or right here in the sanctuary, we're so glad you decided to come on out to join us for worship today, where we were reminded it is still February and it still snows in winter in North Dakota. So we are continuing our journey through the book of Mark this Lent, and the most fast-moving ancient biography on Jesus' life. As a matter of fact, you've got four ancient biographies of Jesus' life in your Bible: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Andy, the pastor at Legacy South, compared the four gospels on Jesus' life to how we send messages, particularly how we send emails to each other. Some of us are, shall I say, very word-heavy in our email correspondence. We have a greeting, we build rapport with the person, we get down to business, and then we sign off hoping to see them again. They're pretty long emails. They are not short. My wife sends texts that are so long that I'm pretty convinced they should be emails instead of texts. Now, if you're wordy, if you're verbose in your communication, and that would be me too, by the way, you would be the book of John. You would be the book of John, the ancient biography on Jesus. But Mark that we're going through, Mark is the two-finger, quick, fast response in our communication. And in my family and friends, I have folks who will, when I ask a question, they will write back K. Not okay or okay, just the letter K or a thumbs up. Friends, that is the book of Mark. That is Mark, a fast, quick hit and moving story on Jesus' life and ministry. Today, we are going to be in Mark chapter 4. You're welcome to follow along with me in your own Bible, on your favorite device, or on the screen with me. Now, we're going to dive in today to Jesus' primary teaching method. This was the way he taught folks in the first century. He taught them truths about God, how we should relate to each other, and how we should relate to God. We're going to start here in verse 33 of Mark chapter 4. Jesus used many similar stories and illustration to teach the people as much as they could understand. In fact, in his public ministry, he never taught without using parables. But afterward, when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything to them. Jesus taught stories. He taught parables. He taught stories that were memorable. They were easy to retell. They had some kind of lesson, spiritual or moral truth that went with it. Now, previous to this passage in chapter 4, Jesus tells four stories, four parables, mostly of the gardening type. Why? Because he's largely living with a farming people. That's how they survived. That's how they lived. He taught these stories so they could be remembered in a society that has no internet. They can't remember at all. There's no mass printing of books. A town maybe had a copy, maybe had one copy of the Old Testament in their synagogue, in their church building. That was it. Literacy rates were nowhere near what they are today. Stories with a purpose were a perfect way to teach truths about God and get them to remember them and tell their friends these stories that they like. You know, we're familiar with this. People love stories. People love stories then. We love stories today. We humans are a story-driven lot. While we might get bored with a lecture, we will sit for hours watching a great story at the movies, or we'll listen to a multi-episode podcast that's 2 hours long in every episode that just grabs our attention. One of the non-ministry-related podcasts that I still love to listen to is Car Talk. Now, this was a weekly call-in radio show from the 80s to the 2000s where two Boston mechanics helped listeners sometimes with their car problems, sometimes with their relationships, and sometimes with nothing at all. So one of my favorite calls goes like this. A caller calls in and says, "Hey, I got to move a mattress. I only have a car. How can I attach this mattress to the top of my car to get it home?" So the guys respond to a story of a friend of theirs. This friend of theirs had a huge 80s GMC car. I mean, picture just a huge boat. And he worked late at night, and he's driving home late at night. He sees this whole mess of 4x8 plywood sheets at a construction site. He said, "Oh man, my brother-in-law, he needs some plywood, this construction site. Who's going to miss a couple of plywood sheets?" So in the dark of night, he puts 18 sheets of plywood on the top of his car roof. Now, if you do the math, that is 9 inches of plywood. So he has no way to attach this, though. There's no luggage rack on this thing. He's got nothing to tie down the plywood with. So what's an ingenious person to do? He gets in the car, sits down, sticks his arm out the window, and holds onto the plywood as he drives very carefully home. So it's 2 o'clock in the morning, not a lot of traffic. He's actually doing just great. Until that one car that nearly cuts him off, and he reacts just like any of us would. He slams on the brakes and narrowly misses him. Now, you've probably had science class before. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. There are 18 sheets of plywood on the top of his car that he's holding with his arm. What do you think is going to happen next? The plywood comes forward, rips off his hood, his headlights, the grill, the entire front of his car is now laying in the intersection with 18 beautiful sheets of plywood laying on top of it. He has done thousands of dollars of damage to his car. The moral of the story, friends, maybe get a truck to move plywood or mattresses instead of putting them on the top of your car. Friends, we remember stories. We love stories. We share them with each other when something painful or funny or exciting happens to us. We were built that way by God. We're built to experience the world by stories. So it should be no surprise that Jesus, being God, shares truth with us through stories that we're going to remember. Now, if you skim Mark chapter 4, there's one other thing you need to know. He keeps saying, let those who have ears let us hear. Not corn, like Corey misunderstood, but our actual ears. Are we listening? It's as if Jesus is trying to tell things people in secret or to hide things from others. Now, Jesus was not hiding the truth of God from other people who were genuinely seeking. Those who are genuinely seeking God, want to know the truth about God, they heard this. They could hear. They had ears who could hear. At this point in Mark, you need to recall, there are religious leaders that are already trying to kill him. They are trying to arrest him and take him out of the way. So Jesus teaches at times in a way that the religious leaders don't get what he's talking about, but his followers, those that are curious, those that wonder what he's doing, they absolutely understand what he's talking about. He teaches many times in public in a way that the religious leaders don't quite get, so they can't arrest him, but those who are curious, those who want to know more about God, they get it. Parables not only grab people's attention, but they serve to insulate Jesus from those who wanted to arrest him, those who wanted to stop him from influencing the people. Now, we do also see here in the story that we're going to look at, Jesus explains the parables to the disciples. We're going to look at one where he does for us, but Scripture says all of the parables, Jesus told the disciples what he meant. Because, much like us, the disciples would ask, Jesus, what on earth are you teaching? We have no idea what you're talking about. We don't understand. What on earth is happening, Jesus? Would you please tell us what you meant? So let's take a look at one of these parables where we get the explanation as well. We're going to jump back to the top of Mark 4, starting in verse 1, and let's explore one of these stories that Jesus told. Once again, Jesus began teaching by the lake shore. A very large crowd gathered around him, so he got into a boat. Then he sat in the boat while all the people remained on the shore. He taught them by telling many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered it across his field, some of the seed fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on the shallow soil with underlying rock. That seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plant soon wilted under the hot sun. Since it didn't have deep roots, it died. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants, so they produced no grain. Still, other seeds fell on fertile soil. They sprouted, they grew, they produced a crop that was 30, 60, even 100 times more than what was planted. Then he said, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. There is Jesus saying right at the end, the religious leaders probably didn't have ears to hear, to understand. I mean, they didn't want to. They were not curious about what Jesus was doing. The picture, the meaning of a parable can change, just like a kaleidoscope that we turn in our hands. So first, let's turn this kaleidoscope of a parable, and let's place ourselves in this story as the farmer. Now, the farmer doesn't seem very good at his job, does he? I mean, he's just willy-nilly scattering the seed everywhere. He has no regards for soil consistency, nitrogen levels, rocks in the soil, availability of water, birds that are going to come and take it away, you name it. I mean, he seems like a pretty poor farmer to me. He throws it absolutely everywhere with the hopes that maybe just a little bit of it might produce a harvest. Friends, we are the farmer whenever we share about following Jesus. We are the farmer when we are showing others the way that we live our lives and we explain our faith to them. We believe Jesus shows us the way to abundant life today and showed us how to live, that he died and rose again to conquer sin and death for us and the world once and for all. As we share that message, that central part of our lives, we sometimes call that the gospel or the good news. People are going to have all different kinds of responses to that. There have been all kinds of responses to Jesus since he walked the earth. Sometimes we share our faith, we share what we're passionate about, and it does not go anywhere. It is like talking to a brick wall. It simply has no effect on our friends, on our family, on our loved ones, on our neighbors. That's like the seed that fell on the footpath soil. It takes no root. These folks are not interested. It's not even in the realm of possibility that they want to follow Jesus. We know people who've responded to the good news like that. Another response is the shallow soil. It springs up quickly, but suddenly it blows away as if it never existed. This is the flash in the pan kind of faith, where someone says yes to following Jesus quickly, they're really passionate, fired up, but they don't go any deeper. They don't get plugged in, they don't find a group, they don't know how to grow in faith through scripture reading and worship and community. And then they are suddenly gone. As quickly as that faith kind of appears, suddenly they're nowhere to be seen ever again. That is a flash in the pan kind of faith. That is shallow soil. And I've absolutely seen folks like that. Others respond to the seed that grows among the weeds. This seed has great potential for faith to impact others, but all kinds of other concerns squeeze out following Jesus. Man, this can happen to any one of us. Our schedules fill up with work and family responsibilities and friend connections that we don't even notice. All of a sudden, growing in faith in Jesus has fallen off our calendar. It has fallen off the priority, the center of our lives. And friends, so often, this is also all good stuff. It's not like we replace following Jesus with all this kind of painful and damaging things. It just gets crowded out in the calendar. It's not even noxious weeds. It is actually good stuff. We as farmers, we're going to see people respond to calls of faith with no response. They're going to burn up and burn out and competing priorities. But there is one response that is so exciting to see. A faith planted in one person that goes on to impact so many more, way beyond the potential of the first seed, reaching people and meeting people's needs in the name of Jesus that you never even thought possible. Yes, sometimes sharing faith as a farmer, you get to see somebody so passionate about the faith, so connected to Jesus, they reach people and heal people in Christ's name more than you could have ever dreamt or imagined. So friends, when we see ourselves as the farmer, sharing our faith in Jesus in words and deeds, we should not be surprised at any of these responses. When I read this, and every time I read it, I'm like, okay, only one of these is successful. the totally fruitful response to the message. We should just focus in that area. Why waste time spreading seeds in all the other areas? Only invest in people that will return the high harvest. But Jesus is telling us, as farmers, we should spread his message, his call to abundant life, today and the life to come, everywhere, no matter the response we're going to get. Share faith anywhere and with anyone, because you do not know. You have no idea how someone might respond. The person you thought would never say yes to Jesus suddenly becomes the fertile soil. The one you thought who would follow Jesus forever is one who is a flash in the pan. We have no idea how people are going to respond because it's up to them. So friends, we as the farmers, we share Jesus' love for others. We share it wherever we go, and the response is up to the individual. Even if only 25% of how we share our faith are folks that are going to be fertile soil, it is absolutely worth it. We share Jesus anywhere and everywhere, far and wide, no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing at the moment. So we can see ourselves as the farmer in this story. Let's turn the kaleidoscope again, and let's see ourselves as the soil. So jump down to verse 13, and Jesus explains the meaning of this parable to his disciples. Man, I wish we would have this for every parable in our scriptures, but we do not. Now, this is the crowd departs. So at this point in the story, the huge crowd that was there, they have left. Jesus is now meeting his disciples, and he gives them a glimpse behind the story. Now, the rest of the story. Then Jesus said to them, "If you can't understand the meaning of this parable, how are you going to understand the meaning of the other parables? The farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. That seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message. Only have Satan come at once and take it away. The seed in the rocky soil represents those who hear the message, they receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word, but it's all too quickly crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, the desire for other things, so no fruit is produced. And the seed that fell on the good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word. It produces a harvest of 30, 60, even 100 times as much has been planted." So it's appropriate, friends, during the season of Lent, just having moved through Ash Wednesday a couple weeks ago, reminding ourselves we are dust, and to dust we will return, to look at ourselves as soil. We are the soil in this story. So today, are we path soil? Are we absolutely resistant to this message with no reaction? By the way, we can change the kind of soil that we are. Or do we find ourselves as rocky soil? Are we rocky soil that goes quickly, we're passionate about the faith, but then we focus on something else over here and we lose that connection to Jesus? Are we the thorny soil where Jesus gets put on the back burner, where so much other stuff crowds in and away? Or the hope for all of us, the hope for me, are we good soil? Are we seeking to produce a harvest of love and joy, peace and patience, kindness and goodness, faithfulness and gentleness, and self-control in all that we do? Not just in ourselves, but producing that fruit in others. Friends, may we have ears to hear today. Can we truly listen to cultivate a spirit in our lives that is good soil? To let Jesus grow in us a faith that has an impact far beyond, so far beyond anything we could ever ask or dream or imagine. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we want to hear from you clearly. We want to be able to listen. We want to be the people of good soil who are ready and willing to serve you, to reach others for you in word, action, and deed. We confess there are times that all kinds of other concerns choke out your voice in our lives. Other times where we're consumed for you and then we just entirely lose our focus. So forgive us the times we fall short. May your Holy Spirit empower us to be fully committed to you, fully devoted to you, so that a passionate and authentic faith grows in us to impact our family, our friends, our neighbors, and the world. It's in your resurrected name we pray together. Amen.